Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. And joining me today on our New Year's show is Tom McCubbin. Good morning, Tom.
Yes, and Happy New Year to everybody.
Thank you so much for joining me. We are going to have a great show today. We're going to be talking about landscaping trends, what we've done this year, and all sorts of great gardening items.
Yep. You know, I deal a lot with residents, and what I'm finding is what they like or what they need. And one of the things is carefree plants. I think people are tired of the plants they have to maintain a lot and go out there and prune a lot and fertilize a lot and even water a lot.
I think that some people, you know, have this misperception of gardening is no maintenance. You know, Florida-friendly gardening is no maintenance, and there is no such thing as a no-maintenance landscape.
Yeah, and especially when you first put them in. Let's take a podocarpus, for instance. If you don't keep that root ball moist, you're going to lose it. It's like a Christmas tree. Well, it's kind of timely, actually. It's like a Christmas tree. If it dries out, it'll stay green for a couple of months, and then all of a sudden it turns brown. It's dead.
Exactly. And that's the same with all kinds of plants.
Azaleas?
Azaleas are very, very common for that to do. You'll pull it right out of the ground, and the root ball will be brown, and the roots have never opened
never
up.
Never moved out.
Never moved out. And it's kind of sad to see that. So the answer is what, Tom?
Well, I have my list. I mean, over the years, you know, I've been in this business for a good while. You have, too. You have a list, I'm sure. And for instance, one Burford holly. I just find that's so easy to grow, but you still have to water it to get it established. Everything needs water to get established. Dwarf Podocarpus Pringles seems to be doing so well.
I think it's wonderful, and it's got that pretty bluish-green color. Yeah. It's not as blue as, you know, kind of like a spruce or anything, but it's got a different color than the regular Podocarpus, and it looks nice.
Yeah, it's a nice one. Here's one that's not being used. I like the dwarf powder puff for all the color and everything, the pinks and the reds. And
it looks beautiful.
It does have an insect that comes in on it, so all of them have something, you know, but we want one that's carefree. Here's a workhorse. The dwarf yaupon holly. Shillings is one, but there's others.
And those are native to Florida, and they do very well. And again, once they're established, they can be based just on rainfall. They can survive and be very healthy with just rainfall.
Now, here's one that you and I like a lot, but it's not being used that much. Lavender breeze.
This is a great ornamental grass. It's from Australia, and it is a wonderful, wonderful ornamental grass. It's upright, kind of like the African irises.
Yeah, it looks like a grass.
But it's got chartreuse-colored green leaves, and it's got a pretty little flower, but you don't get to see it so much. But you don't have to cut it back.
That's right. It's durable.
It's great. And no insects, no
moisture,
disease problems, knock on wood.
Low moisture need.
Low moisture. It grows in the desert, practically.
I know.
All of the Lamandras are really good for that.
Yep.
And so I'm glad to see it here in Florida, and everybody should be asking for it.
Yeah. Now, here's one that I think is going to be a downtrend, okay?
Okay.
I think vegetable gardening will shrink.
I kind of think so, too.
After people put into gardens, they find they have trouble. Insects eat them. They don't grow the way you think they might grow. They get discouraged. And this is typical of what happens. After you have a big interest in vegetable gardening, then it starts to shrink and people go ahead and put in the lawn.
It starts to act like work.
It is work.
And it's easier to go to the grocery store and, you know, buy something that somebody else has produced, which is good for Florida farmers and, you know, growers. But, you know, there's something about growing your own food, but it's not as easy as what everyone thinks it is.
Yeah, even I have things I don't grow. I don't grow carrots. I can buy them too cheap, 98 cents a bag at the grocery store.
And the seeds are, you know, they're getting more expensive.
Seeds are more expensive also, and less in a pack. I'm buying tomato seeds, 5 seeds to a packet.
Wow.
5 seeds to a packet, and the packet cost me $3. So what does that add up to? 60 cents a seed. Plus you have to pay shipping and handling on it.
Shipping and handling, and then you got to pay for the water and the fertilizer for it, the time to do it, and then the lacewings find it.
And here's another thing. I'm propagating more of my own plants, and I think more people will probably do that, especially seedlings. I will start my own seeds. I'll divide a lot of plants to try to increase my collection and share it with friends.
Share it with friends and communities. I've seen a lot of different little community gardens popping up. They have like 5 or 6 in Winter Park that are just in private residences, but it's a community garden. And then the people, it's like a cooperative. and people pay, and they get the vegetables and everything from it, and one person maintains it.
Yep, can't beat that. What's on your list here?
My list for trends, landscaping trends, I think we're going to get away from, you know, specifying natives and non-natives. Mm. I think we're going to get more into the more natural look.
I hope so.
And not as cookie cutter as what, you know, it is. I think people are going to, used to be really wild looking, and that was the habitat you wanted. And that would be the what would attract pollinators and butterflies and birds. I think people are wanting it to be a little bit more controlled, a little bit more softer, more natural looking, a little bit more maintenance, but looking good.
And we have gardeners. If it's not native, they're not going to plant it. If it's introduced, they don't want it. And, you know, I think we're getting somebody in the middle there would be the best way to
I think so, too. I think the extension is coming out with a lot of surveys and scientific research that shows that the pollinators will go to non-natives just as easy. And you can see it with plumbagos and all the pollinator plants that you do see lots of butterflies for them. Agara is one. African blue basil is another that the pollinators love. You know, it's just about, I think it's more about not spraying chemicals unnecessarily.
Yeah, same here. I don't spray unless I have to. And you know, I use the safest thing first.
And spot treating. You know, not doing the entire yard. And I think one of my hopes for the New Year's, everybody can make a kind of New Year's, hope that you're not going to put down a monthly or bi-monthly chemical down, pesticide treatment down, unless you have a bug problem.
Yeah, it's no use doing it unless you have a problem.
No, it's just wasted. And what that does is it leaches through and it gets out into the environment.
Yeah. Do you think there are that many people spraying like that now? They used to.
I still think so.
Do you really?
I think we've had such a new influx of new residents. And what do you think about when you're coming down to Florida? What does everyone tell you when you're moving to Florida?
Bugs,
watch out for the bugs.
cockroaches.
Yeah, flies, mosquitoes, you know. And you got to spray for them, you know. Yeah. And I think that's the main thing that people think that we have a bug problem here. And we really don't.
Yeah, I would figure people would be getting away from the pesticides.
I would hope so, but I see it in HOAs, and you go to HOAs, and they'll say, why don't we have any butterflies here? And then everybody on the house or on the street.
Street spraying.
Spraying. Everybody's spraying chemicals. And I still think it's a big issue. And I just think because we've had so many new people here that they don't know any better. And I think they get a welcome package that says, here's your pest control company. And, you know, and then they just go for it and don't understand that is only if you see a problem. Now, I don't mind them spraying indoors, but it's outdoors that they really don't need to do it until they see a pest problem.
Yep. Here's one I'd like to see people do. Eliminate the small spaces of turf. You know, spots at the edge of beds and along walkways.
Yeah, that 1 foot, foot of turf that's really there. It's only wide. And yes, please. Or a little square here and there. And yeah, go ahead and just mulch it. Put a plant there. You know, it's not necessary to have turf everywhere.
Yeah. You know, you just it's hard to maintain. I mean, in my HOA communities, I'm just suggesting they do something else.
So sure.
Mulch.
Mulch, well, when we talk about mulch, just mulching a landscape is not Florida friendly. Just putting mulch down. You got to have plants there. And the more plants you have, the less weeds you'll have, you know, the competition. You want competition there. And so it's important that people understand that your turf is your highest water user. And I'm saying that not as somebody who says you need to water turf. People are just overwatering
it.
Yeah,
no doubt about that.
It's your highest water user. And it's going to be, because it's pruned a lot, it's pruned incorrectly, they don't want weeds, so they're putting down a lot of chemicals on it, it's getting stressed out, and it's just going to be even more work. Yep. So that little space is not necessary.
Yep, try to eliminate that. Let's see what else I have here real quick. More long-lasting perennials or long-lived annuals.
Yes. I had Eric Appenberry on a couple of weeks ago, and he says, Teresa, he says, we don't speak of them as annuals and perennials. Warm season and cool season. And I kind of agree with him on that because I've had annuals last a couple of years.
Yeah.
Alyssum's a really good one that if you deadhead it and keep it watered, it will last a couple of seasons.
Yeah. Here's my long-term go-to, Pentas and Coleus.
Pentas and Coleuses, yes. They are wonderful, and they provide so much color for the landscape. Butterflies love them. Even the coleus says when they flower, butterflies love those too as well. And that is a great choice.
Dusty Miller, Gallardia, and perennial salvias.
That and beach sunflowers.
Oh, yeah.
You want a great ground cover? Beach sunflowers are it. And they don't need to be by the beach. They can handle Central Florida and North Florida as well. For those of you in South Florida, all of these will work. You know, the pentas and the coleuses will all work down in South Florida, too.
Yep. It's a good selection. What else do you have on your list?
I have the good old-fashioned shrubs. You can't beat the African irises. You can't beat the cannas. Right. I mean, the cannas do get leaf roller, but they're good for it. Just chop them down, and they'll spring right back up, and they'll bloom again before the end of the year. There are some really good tropical choices. The crotons are always good. You never see really too much problems with those. And then also, too, bromeliads.
I love bromeliads.
Bromeliads are really very easy care, easy to share. Find someone that's having too many of them in their yard, and they throw them by the road, and you can just pick them up for free.
There's one community near me, and I don't know where they got the deal on bromeliads, but they must have got a good deal, and they put them under all the trees in the median.
And that works. And so, you know, again, with the bugs, you know, they hold water, so you're going to want to make sure that you're spraying that water out so it doesn't get stagnant, or you can just put mosquito dunks in them. Mosquito bits and mosquito dunks in them, and they don't get any mosquitoes.
Yeah, a lot of people are scared of bromeliads just because of the mosquito fear that we had about them at one time.
Sure, and it is. You're going to get some mosquitoes. I had someone ask me the other day there, Teresa, what plants can I plant to prevent mosquitoes? I said, well, you know, when you think about it, if there was one that worked, everybody's yard would have them in there. It would be in all the parks. It would be in all the cities. It would be in all the schools, the buildings. But you have to, for that citronella, you have to blend it, you know, crush it up, blend it, get the oils from it. And then it's only good on you. It's not really something you can spray out in your yard. You're listening to a New Year's Eve special show of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm here, Teresa Watkins, with Mr. Tom McCubbin, and we'll be right back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens.